The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
You know, this is a moral failure across all three branches so far of government. I mean, first you have the executive branch, and that's really the problem there is that they changed the rules. And we know that. We have the clear evidence that shows that. And then the state legislators, there are a significant number of them in these swing states that want to do the right thing. They want to exercise their Article II authority. But it's been a lot of the leadership that's just refusing to actually do the constitutionally appropriate thing. And now you have the Supreme Court that really just decided, it seems like on a political whim, to not hear this case, when clearly you have the interests of 80,000 American voters whose votes were disenfranchised based on the corruption, based on the ignoring the rules in these states. How they could pass on this, I think, is shocking. I think it's morally outrageous. And I'm glad to hear my co-counsel, Mayor Giuliani, say that the fight isn't finished. And I think that regardless of the outcome here, we are going to continue to do the right thing. President Trump is courageous. He is standing for truth, the Constitution, and election integrity. And that is always a fight that is worth fighting.
The fight isn't finished. That is Jenna Ellis. She's one of the attorneys for President Trump, his reelection campaign. She's obviously responding to the news coming out of the Supreme Court on Friday night, where they refused to hear that case brought on by Texas and all those other states. We talked a fair bit about it last week. All those other states that joined on, and I think something like 126 Republicans in Congress as well. And the Supreme Court refused to hear it on, I guess, a technicality, standing, as they explained. Only Justice Thomas and Justice Alito were inclined to at least hear the case, but even they made a strange statement that they couldn't give relief to those who brought the complaint. So that's the very latest, all of these twists and turns, and we'll talk more about that as we proceed on today's show. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We're off and running on yet another week of broadcasting here at KPCG and KPCG.fm. The live stream also plays, of course, on our YouTube channel. It's at the trumpet.com website as well. So here we are. This is the Electoral College Day. This is when the electors are supposed to vote. And of course, given the news from Friday night, those that remained on the president's side, The fight against fraud, the courage to go forward. It seems those few that remained in strong support of the Trump campaign are now abandoning ship. Of course, quite a few of them had abandoned ship weeks ago. We'll play a clip a little bit later by the former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie, saying that it's time to move on. But here are the attorneys representing the president, Jenna Ellis, as you heard, and of course Rudy Giuliani, out responding to the news from Friday night. Here's Giuliani on Newsmax. I believe this is from Saturday, clip 3.
President's reaction is to look at other options. I mean, we always knew that this was an option, that we would have to convert this into, in fact, originally we thought about this as possibly four or five separate cases. So that's the option we're going to have to go to. This kind of voter fraud can continue to go on if it's not nipped in the bud. If we don't stand up to it, if we allow the big media and the big tech and the Democrat politicians and the Washington elite, if we allow them to roll over this, election fraud is just going to get worse and worse and worse. I mean, this is the worst in our history so far, and it's got to be stopped. And I think the only person who has the courage to stand up to it is Donald Trump.
The only person who has the courage to stand up to it is Donald Trump. sounds similar to some of the things my father's written in Great Again and elsewhere. The only one, he went on to say, by the way, Rudy Giuliani, that we're not finished. Believe me, we're not finished. One more clip from the same interview, clip two.
The worst part of this is basically the courts are saying they want to stay out of this and they don't want to. They don't want to give us a hearing. They don't want the American people to hear these facts. And I think that's a terrible, terrible mistake. These facts will remain an open sore in our history unless they get resolved. They need to be heard. They need to be aired. And somebody needs to make a decision on whether they're true or false. And some court's going to have the courage to make that decision.
You keep hearing from their campaign that they're going to need to have the courage to make a decision. And then, of course, the constant references to President Trump himself as being a man of courage. Yesterday, we taped a program for this next weekend on television. And we went through a few verses. I'll probably play the segment later. But I thought these few verses that we went through yesterday were too good to pass up, given where we are. Given what we're witnessing, this is in Romans 4, and it's regarding the great patriarch Abraham. And it says here, as it is written, verse 17, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead. God raises people to life. Physically, he raised Jesus Christ to life spiritually by a resurrection from the dead. It says, and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope, this is regarding Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your seed be. In the Moffat translation, it says, for Abraham, when hope was gone, he hoped on in faith, and thus became the father of many nations, even as he was told. He just continued to believe in the sure word of God. He continued to believe in the prophecies of God. Now, God tested him, and he had to wait. And in his case, he had to wait for years. But when everything looked hopeless, it says that he hoped on in faith. That's how Moffat puts it. I love that verse in the Moffat translation. It says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was 100. Sarah was 90. They had to wait almost 25 years, I think it was, for that child of promise. Verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He didn't flop around. He didn't go back and forth. He wasn't tossed to and fro. He staggered not, it says, at the promise of God. Abraham stood on a strong foundation spiritually. And so when God came along and promised that he would have all of these blessings, that he would produce a great multitude, he believed. It says in verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Can God perform it? Is God able to perform it if he says it? And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. You see, he was fully persuaded. That's the way God wants for us to be as far as faith is concerned. He wants us to have absolute confidence in him, to trust him. It takes faith to obey God. We obey God in faith. We obey God without question. And you look around at our nations today and the weakness that's on display, the cowardice, the unwillingness to stand up to fraud and corruption. The unwillingness to fight on. So many just want to throw in the towel. So many just want to surrender. as I've said over and again, there's a lot of spiritual takeaways that we can glean from even current events. So much weakness. This was Chris Christie on one of the Sunday shows yesterday, clip five.
Well, listen, the legal theory put forward by his legal team and by the president is an absurdity. And the reason why the Supreme Court didn't take it is because it's an absurd idea to think that any state or any number of states, no matter how good they are, can challenge another state's right to run the election as they see fit. And also, there's no evidence, as I've been saying since election night, show us the evidence.
That's Chris Christie yesterday on one of the shows. It's just an absurdity. Even the legal conclusions, so absurd. And there's no evidence. No evidence whatsoever. Isn't it amazing? You look at, speaking of being tossed to and fro, here that man actually ran for president in the lead up to 2016, totally and utterly despised Donald Trump. And then President Trump wins the election, and he loves Donald Trump. He loves him. Because, well, I mean, he could get a good job from him. And then we come up to this election, and he supposedly loses it. And now, just move on. What an absurdity. Just back and forth. You can certainly see where all of the Fairweather friends stand. They're on the bandwagon at one point, and then they jump off, and then they try to grab hold of it and get back on. They can't ever please enough Democrats to win majority support. You can't please enough Republicans. So they're caught somewhere in the middle, hoping to find a little niche in the never-Trumper community, I suppose. Where is the willingness to fight? You don't see it. You don't see very much of it. And yet over and again, whether it's Jenna Ellis or Giuliani, we've got to follow his lead and fight this, or it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. Ephesians 4 and verse 14, I mentioned this on this program we recorded yesterday as well, where Paul says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Just so easily go along with deception. Just so easily go along with evil. Follow a multitude to sin. Exodus 23. Just follow the crowd. Don't make a stand against it. Don't make a stand against obvious fraud. A coup in broad daylight. And one thing you can say about this administration is that even if it is going down, it's going down swinging. Of course, that's just looking at it on the human level. We know God has a say in this. We know God has a plan that he's working out here below. And you can believe in the sure word of Bible prophecy. We don't have to stagger and flop around. We can be fully persuaded. We can hope on in faith. As that verse says in Moffat, you talk about corruption right out there in broad daylight. Listen to Stacey Abrams. She's the one that lost the gubernatorial race in 2018, never did concede, never gave a concession speech, still hasn't to this day. And I mean, she was praised universally. The propaganda media love her. Now she, you got to give her credit, she takes a stand for what she believes in. She fights for her cause. She was involved in the voter fraud coming up to 2020. Now she's busily getting ready for the Senate runoff on January the 5th. And listen to what she said again on one of the Sunday shows just yesterday about the upcoming Senate races in Georgia, January 5th, clip 6.
Democrats are prepared to win this election because this is the first runoff where we have the level of investment and engagement that it takes to win a runoff. We know from the numbers that we're in a good place. 1.2 million absentee ballots have been requested thus far. And just to put that into context, 1.3 million were requested for all of the general election. And of that 1.2 million, 85,000 of those applications are from voters who did not vote in the general election.
Wow, they've got 1.2 million absentee ballots requested, 85,000 applications going to voters who didn't even vote 6 weeks ago. I mean, they're really making a lot of progress in finding new voters. They make it so easy. They stated it out in the open because they know no one's going to stand up to them. They know Jake Tapper's not going to ask about voter fraud. The Secretary of State, Raffensperger in Georgia, he's not doing anything about it. He talks about all these investigations. And meanwhile, he puts up all of these, you know, these bins, these voter bins out and about throughout the state just to make it so as easy as possible for fraud. And then she's out there on television just bragging about it. Oh, we've got the numbers. I'll say you have the numbers. Kind of like you had the numbers on November 3rd. There's video footage capturing the fraud. And there's not too many judges that even want to look at it. Standing, latches, whatever the technicality might be. To this point, a lot of judges that just say, hey, I don't want to look at those 1,000 affidavits. I don't want for those witnesses to come into my court. So this Fox News, I've gone through this a couple of times, says Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger has launched investigations into several groups, including one founded by former Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams for seeking to aggressively register ineligible, out-of-state, or deceased voters before the state's January 5th Senate runoff elections. And then there she is on TV yesterday. There she is. Did Jake Tapper give her a hard question? Did Jake Tapper say, well, according to this report, now you're under investigation. Is that not correct? Now remember, when it didn't suit them politically, they cover investigations. That's what we learned with Hunter, right? That's blotted out until now. Now they've thrown the Biden family under the bus. That's okay now because we've got it. It's in the bag. So here's another investigation for voter fraud. Voter fraud. And she's not asked about it at all. And quite the contrary. She's on television bragging about the millions and all the new voters that they've discovered. Even between November 3rd to January 5th, 2 months there, 2 month window, 85,000 new voters. How about that? It says here, Raffensperger for weeks has issued warnings against efforts to register individuals who are ineligible to vote in Georgia's runoff elections or to encourage people to come to Georgia with the sole purpose of casting ballots. I've issued clear warnings several times to groups and individuals working to undermine the integrity of the elections in Georgia. He said further on, this is from that Fox story a couple weeks ago, Raffensperger said that his office has, quote, received specific evidence that these groups, some of them headed up by Stacey Abrams, have solicited voter registrations from ineligible individuals who have passed away or lived out of state. Okay? And then she goes on television, national TV yesterday, and she knows that the Republicans in her state are so weak, they are so timid, they are so fearful, that she can brag about this. Newt Gingrich, he tweeted this yesterday. Why is Georgia Secretary of State Raffensperger working so hard to add drop boxes and take other steps to make it harder for Republicans to win? Is he really that intimidated by Stacey Abrams? And the answer is yes, he is. Well, you challenge her and you're a racist. or you hate women, or whatever it is that the radical left will immediately smear you with. These people are afraid to confront evil. They're afraid. And so they surrender. They surrender meekly before these radical evil forces. To finish this Fox piece, says, I will investigate these claims. And so it talks about all these investigations that are going on. What will be the outcome of those investigations? Do you think, judging by the clip you just saw, do you think Stacey Abrams is worried about the investigation into one of her groups to get out the illegal votes? She is not concerned at all. No, she's not concerned at all. The president, he tweeted out a week or two ago, the corrupt forces who are registering dead voters and stuffing ballot boxes are the same people who have perpetrated one phony and fraudulent hoax after another. See, they keep getting away with it. And so November 3rd comes along and they get away with it on a mass scale. And you have a lot of state officials, a lot of state legislators, you have a lot of judges. To be sure, there have been a lot of cases thrown out who are afraid to confront it. And the only thing they can do to justify their cowardice is to say, well, I don't think it's enough fraud to have affected the result. President Trump hasn't taken that position. This is from the Fox News piece. The Secretary of State also pinpointed Operation New Voter Registration Georgia, who is telling college students in Georgia that they can change their residency to Georgia and then change it back after the election. This is in that Fox News story that I went through with you a week or two ago. Raffensperger himself says this group in particular, Operation New Voter Registration Georgia. Now, I'm not sure if that specific one is backed by Stacey Abrams, but I'm sure she's happy with what they're getting, the results they're getting. Going into college campuses and trying to get out-of-state students to say, hey, you can say you're in-state, just change your address for this little period between November 3rd and January the 5th. And then you can change it back to an out-of-state address after the election. But this gives you the chance to vote. It's illegal. But they don't care. They just continue on with it. Jake Tapper doesn't care. Raffensperger, he talks tough. But what has he done? I take this very serious. I take it very serious. The Bible says to judge by fruits. And there's only a handful that are fighting, that fight on, that continue the fight. The president tweeted this last night. He says, what a fool Governor Kemp of Georgia is. Could have been so easy. Now we have to do it the hard way. He goes on and demands that the people call for a special session and open up signature verification. Says otherwise it could be a bad day for two great senators on January the 5th. A lot of commentators, of course, have brought this out, that if the Republicans give up in this fight, as many of them in Georgia have done, there's probably going to be a lot of angry Republican voters that think to themselves, what's the point? Stacey Abrams and her team, they've got it rigged. Just like they rigged it in Fulton County. Remember the water main burst that turned out to be a leaking urinal? Remember that? Remember the video footage? Remember all the, there's video and witnesses saying that everyone was told to go home. And then four counters stayed around for 3-4 hours. And wouldn't you know it, huge spike in votes for Joe Biden at 1:30 a.m. But Chris Christie says there's no evidence. Don't even want to look at it. I don't even want it to have its day in court. Here's another tweet from the president. He said, swing states that have found massive voter fraud, which is all of them, cannot legally certify these votes as complete and correct without committing a severely punishable crime. Everybody knows that dead people, below age people, illegal immigrants, fake signatures, prisoners, and many others voted illegally. Also, and then he talks about the machine glitches and stuffing the ballot box and so on. Further on, he says, in all swing state cases, there are far more votes than are necessary to win the state and the election itself. Therefore, votes cannot be certified. This election is under protest. So they are still protesting. They, and I'm not smart enough to know all of the ins and outs of these various other legal lawsuits or litigation that has continued. There still are lots, and even I think one or two in the Supreme Court or on the docket. But there certainly is a lot of activity at the lower level. And I think the thing that's interesting to me, and we kind of touched on this last week, is it really feels like all of this, these scandalous reports on the communist Chinese infiltration into our Western nations, into the United States. There was a big story today here in the UK about how they've infiltrated all of these institutions. It seems very much like these two stories are connected, obviously because of the Biden family, but also because of the Dominion voting machines and the software and so on. This is from, speaking of Georgia, I'll just concentrate on Georgia to begin with here, but we've made points before about just how they were so reliant on the technology, the machines, the software, and there was that rush to seal that $107 million deal back in the summer of 2019. And then all the problems and the complications that Georgia had with those machines in an election earlier this year. And then, of course, what happened on election night, the presidential election night. But this goes back to May of 2020. And it says here, Georgia representative, this is from Globe Newswire. It says, Georgia representative Colton Moore released a statement, released this statement to President Xi and Minister Zhang San of the People's Republic of China, seeking an additional $20 billion in Georgia exports by 2022. And the article makes the point that this representative, I believe he's a Republican, he's worked closely, it says here, with Governor Kemp, who's worked with Colton Moore, it says, throughout Northwest Georgia, has pushed Georgia to be the first state in the union to be open for business. Open for business. This is from OAN, and it says here, new reports highlight the relationship between Georgia's governor and consuls from China. They show that Governor Brian Kemp may have closer ties to China than just asking for their business. Now, this is not surprising. None of it is. And it's not to say that the ties are illegal. But when you think about what the Biden family has been doing for years, and there was just a report over the weekend about $400,000 that came into Hunter's account that the authorities don't know about. And so it was not taxed. I think that goes back to 2014. This is being uncovered, by the way, by NBC. All of these outlets that refused to cover it, that blotted it out before the election. And now suddenly they know all these deep... Now suddenly there's leakers. There's leakers in the DOJ that are telling the news media what they want to hear. For 2 years, though, Bill Barr and his people at the DOJ evidently were able to keep it completely quiet. And then it springs a leak. And now the floodgates are open. It says here, this is OAN, according to recent reports, Kemp met with China's consul general from the Houston consulate in Atlanta on July 12th, 2019. So there were pictures on the internet, Twitter, and elsewhere. There's this picture of him meeting with the consul general at the Houston facility, July 12th, 2019. And then just a couple weeks later is when he signed that deal with Dominion. $107 million. This video, and the thing too that's interesting about this consulate in Houston is that the State Department closed it down because of an espionage ring. And this, just hearing the Secretary of State announce that, and to think that you've got these close ties between the government in Georgia and this particular consulate. This clip was put out by NTD News. And here again, this is where you have to go to just get a little bit of background on some of these stories. So many people, and more of it is coming out, not just about the Biden family. You had an announcement or an op-ed, I guess, written by the DNI, the director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. I'll play that for you in just a second. But first, let me just give you this video. I think it lasts for a minute and a half or so. But this is talking about Georgia, Governor Kemp in particular, and his desire to have a very close and lucrative relationship with Communist China. Clip 10.
Georgia's governor has come under fire again, this time over his alleged relationship with China. In a series of tweets, Trump lawyer Lynn Wood accuses Governor Brian Kemp of loving Communist China. Of the videos he posted, one stands out.
China is a top source for imports and our third largest export market. We welcome thousands of Chinese visitors every year to the Peach State, and we are constantly helping to develop new opportunities for Chinese companies.
The video is from the website of Georgia's Department of Economic Development, and what Kemp said in it is a promise that dates back a decade. In 2010, when he was still Georgia's Secretary of State, Kemp met with the ambassador of the Chinese consulate in Houston. He said with Georgia facing an economic downturn, he's ready to spare no effort to promote the economic and trade cooperation between Georgia and China. The Chinese consulate in Houston was shut down this July.
We announced the closure of the Chinese consulate in Houston because it was a hub of spying and intellectual property theft.
And Governor Kemp appears to have a close relationship with the consul generals there over the past decade. Over the past decade, he met with consul generals from the Chinese consulate in Houston at least six times. Last year, before former consulate general Li Qiangmin left his post, he visited Kemp in Georgia. And a month after the new consulate general Cai Wei took the post, he also visited Kemp in Georgia. A report from China's foreign ministry says Kemp welcomes Chinese companies to invest and Chinese students to study in Georgia.
That's from, as I said earlier, NTD News. I think it's based in New York, by the way. But all of these visits with this consulate that the State Department shut down this past summer because of what? Because of it being a hub of spying. A hub of spying. Now, you think about Eric Swalwell and before that, Dianne Feinstein. Her driver was a Chinese spy for years. This party in particular, and it's not just Democrats, because I'm talking to you about Georgia, as it happens, all of these Republican officials too. How many people, besides Joe Biden, and he's responsible ultimately for all that's happening here with his family and with his son, because he's the big guy. The Bobulinski emails show this. He's the one at the top that gets the cut. And he's got all of these mansions to show for it. All over the place. And you look at some of the revelations just in the last few weeks about this investigation, or these investigations, plural, into Hunter Biden, Jimmy Biden. And as one commentator said over the weekend, I mean, the seriousness of it is verified by the fact that they tried to bury it before the election. They knew how damaging it would have been. And by the way, there's polls showing something like, what, 10% of the Biden voters said that if they had known this before the election, they wouldn't have voted for Biden. And to which one of our listeners astutely said, I can't believe it's only 10%. If he's compromised by the communist Chinese, what does that say about America today? What does that say about the voter in America today? And how they've been educated or brainwashed? someone compromised by a communist state? So here are these investigations. They've been going on for 2 years. 2 years. And the DOJ, recently they subpoenaed these documents regarding Hunter's dealings with Burisma and two dozen other companies that Hunter was involved in. So as I say, the floodgates are now open. And NBC had the revelation of the $400,000 of income from Burisma that went untaxed. Well, and who all along knew there was something rotten in this family. I played this clip for you on Friday. This is President Trump before, long before Joe Biden became the front runner that he was going to face off against. This was something the president said to the press in October of 2019, clip 7.
Look, Biden and his son are stone cold crooked, and you know it. His son walks out with millions of dollars. The kid knows nothing. You know it, and so do we. Go ahead.
You know it, and so do we, says the president. This was Tom Cotton last week responding to the revelations that the Biden family, that Hunter and that the brother of Joe Biden are under investigation. This was Senator Tom Cotton's response, clip 9.
There's allegations of securities fraud and money laundering related to Hunter Biden's Chinese businesses, a crooked hospital deal with Jim Biden, Joe Biden's brother out in western Pennsylvania. These investigations span multiple jurisdictions. And if Joe Biden becomes president, then all of those prosecutors are in line to be fired next month. If there were ever circumstances that created conflict of interest and called for a special counsel, I think those circumstances are present here.
That's Senator Cotton saying that, you know, we need a special counsel because once Biden is inaugurated, if he gets in there, then these investigations are going to go away. So we need, at least there's a little bit more, there's some more teeth behind a special investigation or a special counsel. It's a little harder for a new AG to come in and just fire. You know, look at how much President Trump had to put up with from Bob Mueller. 2.5 years, tens of millions of dollars. Well, you look at some of these, again, very recent revelations. The DNI chief, Ratcliffe, he had that op-ed on December 3rd. You had the big reveal on Eric Swalwell, who was compromised by a Chinese spy. The Fang Fang story. December 9th, Secretary of Pompeo said that China had infiltrated many of our universities. That was just a week or so ago. And then a few days, just over the weekend, the media is talking all about this database. This is what was in the Daily Mail this morning. This database of 2 million communists that have infiltrated the West. This is from Sky News. A major leak containing a register with the details of nearly 2 million CCP members has occurred, exposing members who are now working all over the world while also lifting the lid on how the party operates under Xi Jinping. Lifting the lid. So much corruption is being exposed. And with each passing day, we're seeing more and more of it. Just like my father has said over and again, this is God's will. He wants us to see the evil and the corruption. He wants us to see what we've surrendered to in many cases. The Daily Mail says, Beijing's malign influence now stretches into almost every corner of British life, including defense firms, banks, and pharmaceutical giants. They've got their tentacles in everything. Now, this is regarding the UK. Do you think they didn't have an interest in the outcome of the November 3rd election? You bet they did. It says here, loyal members of the Chinese Communist Party are working in British consulates. British consulates? Oh, yes. Universities and for some of the UK's leading companies. The Mail on Sunday can reveal. Most alarmingly, some of its members who swear a solemn oath to guard party secrets, be loyal to the party, work hard, fight for communism throughout my life, and never betray the party, are understood to have secured jobs in British consulates. I mean, that's why they had to shut down the consulate in Houston. The U.S., I mean. An espionage ring. It had become a hub for spying, intellectual theft. It says here, among them is a senior official at a British consulate in Shanghai. Its headquarters is also home to intelligence officers from the UK security services. So the alarm is sounding regarding the communist infiltration here in the UK. Here's the DNI chief, John Ratcliffe. Listen to what he said in a recent interview following his December 3rd op-ed, where he revealed in that piece that China had targeted members of Congress. And here's what he had to say following that. Clip 4.
You wrote a piece for the Wall Street Journal, and you say China is targeting members of Congress with 6 times the frequency of Russia and 12 times the frequency of Iran. What is behind Beijing's aggressive approach?
So they want laws and policies out of the United States that are favorable to China. And what they're really trying to do is, through blackmail, through bribery, through overt and covert influence, trying to make sure that only laws that are favorable to China are passed.
Have you been to Capitol Hill, and have you briefed this threat information to lawmakers?
I was so troubled by what I saw from the position as the Director of National Intelligence that I went and briefed both the House and Senate Intelligence Committees on this information, which they found surprising and troubling. But that's part of alerting members of Congress to the threats that they're facing and that the American people are facing in this broad campaign that China has to replace the United States as the world's superpower.
That last statement there in particular, the broad campaign is to replace the United States as a world superpower. And they've gone along this course for decades, patiently working to infiltrate, just like Mr. Armstrong prophesied, the communist infiltration. I noticed the president's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, he just tweeted, doesn't the mainstream media care that Joe Biden was in a business partnership with the Chinese communists? Do they not care? They're exposing some of this corruption, even as they've anointed the head of this family, the next president of the United States. And President Trump, of course, for his part, he's been virtually alone in his stand against the Chinese communists. Listen to what he said out on the campaign trail, not this past summer, but this goes back to August of 2015. This is before the first presidential election in 2016. This is a year before that, August 24th, 2015, clip 8.
I've been telling everybody for a long time, China's taking our jobs, they're taking our money. Be careful, they'll bring us down. You have to know what you're doing. We have nobody that has a clue.
Nobody has a clue. They'll bring us down. Who do you think they were pulling for in 2016? Who do you think they were pulling for in 2020? The Biden family sold out. They sold out not just their family, the nation. Does anyone in the media, the propaganda media, care that he has all of these partnerships with these spies? That's candidate Trump back in August of 2015. As my father has written, Donald Trump has proved himself willing to take a stand where others have not. See, he'll take a stand. He fights on. Even when it looks hopeless, he's inspired a few others to challenge the radical left and help expose it for what it is. More and more of it's being exposed. I'll take you back to this Key of David program. I think I played this for you last week as well. But this is my father saying essentially what you just heard John Ratcliffe say. Their goal is to replace the United States as a world superpower. Here's my father from March of 2018, clip 11.
Well, surely if we stop and think about this, with China doing all that and making all these deals and paying all that money, what is their goal? What is their ambition? Surely we must see a strong motivation there to, take over the world, to conquer the world, and some of the Chinese leaders will even tell you that.
Yeah, they even admit it. And now we're finding out about all of these spies that have worked their way up into the top tier of government in the U.S., in the U.K., and their goal is to conquer the world. I'll refer you again to my father's piece from July 2016. China is steering the world toward war. It's steering the world in that direction. When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few additional thoughts on a couple of other news items, and then get to some listener feedback. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Freedom is one of the most sought-after ideals in human history. Man's search for freedom has taken him into the fiercest of protests, struggles, revolutions, civil wars, even world wars. Today, in the midst of free societies, many continue to fight for what they perceive as ever greater freedoms. And yet, many of these same people are actively fighting against law. Few people understand that this war against law actually undermines true freedom. To learn more, request Gerald Fleury's booklet, No Freedom Without Law. In this free booklet, you will see what the Bible says about the latter-day spirit of rebellion and lawlessness that is now so common in our nations today. Also request America Under Attack. In this booklet, you will learn more about the spirit behind this attack on law. You'll see where this is leading. Both booklets are offered freely at no cost or obligation to you. Request No Freedom Without Law and America Under Attack. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Bars and restaurants in most of the country will be closed as we go into this wave. And I think, sadly, that's appropriate. Certainly by the summer, we'll be way closer to normal than we are now. But even through early 2022, unless we help other countries get rid of this disease and we get high vaccination rates in our country, the risk of reintroduction will be there.
That's Bill Gates. I guess he's now a medical expert or an epidemiologist saying that this could continue, these kinds of lockdown measures, until, through the summer at least. The carryover could go all the way to 2022. He said in that same interview that, well, bars and restaurants, we've got to close those down because the rate of transmission is higher there than in schools. How does he know? How do we know that with one group or cluster of people, there's a high rate of transmission, and yet with another group or cluster of people, there's not, okay? There's not. So we just kind of arbitrarily look through our society and say, that's closed, we can open this up in certain circumstances. He's not a medical professional. He's not an epidemiologist. He's not a doctor. He's a computer guy. He happens to have a lot of interest in vaccines. He happens to have a lot of connections to the pharmaceutical companies. But there he is. I guess he's the new Fauci. You've got Dr. Fauci and Dr. Gates, Bill Gates, telling us how long this has to go on. We're getting close to the end of the year. I've already mentioned to you that the numbers, it looks like total deaths in the United States, we run about 2.5 to 2.9 million per year. Just depends from one year to the next. It's a big country. A lot of people die. That's just the way it works in the world. But it's looking like we're not even going to have more deaths this year than we had last year. Where's the spike? If this is the worst since the Spanish flu, or even worse than that, where is the spike? People are trying to deceive you with all of these other stats, with all of these other deceptive tactics. Well, it's, the rate of transmission's higher over here than it is over here, so surely we have to keep doing this, they say. So say the experts, and in that case, not even an expert, but he's there on the Sunday shows. Some feedback from you listeners. It says, I would just like to say your reporting on the Trumpet Daily Radio Show about the 2020 presidential election scandal is incendiary. Incendiary. I assume that's a compliment. It says, your style and enthusiasm certainly set fire to this crime blotted out by mainstream media for reasons that go beyond America and this election. Keep doing the great work. It says over here, another one. It's, what a TD blockbuster today. Thank you for unedited, God-inspired truth and hope. Even if these perilous times and dark days, when deceit and fraud abound, showing the end of man's civilization, it says, and we have hope in God's new civilization coming soon. Thanks for the daily dose of ultimate truth and hope. I need to slow down so I can read them properly here. Another one here says, okay, I think that just made my week. I've just gotten a few minutes into today's program, and I got to hear Stephen Fleury say, shockaroo. Love it. She loves shockaroo. Another one here says, as soon as this morning's show is over, I immediately emailed Governor Stitt's office requesting we include Oklahoma in the Texas suit. This goes back to a show from last Wednesday, I think it was. This evening, I received the response included below. With your encouragement, I'm sure I wasn't the only one who the governor's office heard from today. So Oklahoma joined the other states in that suit that now seems like old news, I guess, because of the news from the Supreme Court. But it says here, I start every morning listening to the Trumpet Daily and greatly appreciate your hard work to give us the latest in true news. Looking forward to what you have for us tomorrow morning. Another one says, wow, powerful, factual, and insightful as usual, but also quite humorous at times. Great show. Thank you. Another one here. Thank you for such an eye-opening, informative program today. There was much you stated, that I was not aware of. Thank you for you and your wonderful staff, for everything you do in this extremely important work. You're waking many of us up to what's happening to this nation and to the world. Please keep up the great efforts in sounding the alarm. And please, for those of us who wish to help you in those efforts through contributions, please tell us how we may do so. God bless you all. Well, we don't send out requests for money on our public forums like this, but since you ask, you can just go to the trumpet.com website. There's got to be, I don't know the exact link, but there's got to be an address or a page there somewhere that has all of our office addresses around the world. We're headquartered in Edmond, Oklahoma, of course, but we've got regional offices like this one here at Edstone. We have them in Canada and the Philippines and Australia and New Zealand. So if you'd like to contribute, you certainly can find your way to one of our addresses at thetrumpet.com website. Another one here, so this is the one that made the point about how many would have considered voting or not voting for Biden, given what we now know about the corruption and the investigations. It says, on one of your shows in the past week or so, you mentioned about a survey taken on people who had voted for Biden, and if the corrupt news media would have reported the truth about some of the illegal things he was into, that 17% would not have. I was taken aback about how far our country has fallen away from wanting a president who has integrity plus other finer qualities. It should have been 100% that wouldn't have voted for him. It's sad to see just how willfully ignorant the people have become and really have little or no desire to seek the truth and search for the facts. They just believe what they want to believe. And when asked for facts, how they came to believe what they do, the usual response is, well, I just do. And he mentions that section in Colossians about will worship. That's from Colossians chapter 2. And then finally, I really appreciate all the hard work you and your team are doing to keep us informed. If you'd like to submit feedback, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.